welcome back finally to yet another episode of Panditri on a Pint. Today we are three blokes having an above average football conversation. Yes, we've moved back to football from like two cricket episodes and complete radio silence in between. It's been a while since we've recorded. I think it must have been at least 2-3 months since we made a football episode, right? But we are back again. I'm here with my wonderful co-podcasters Akshat and Vaishnav. Po got a little busy today. Otherwise, we would have been all four, but it's okay. We're going to do with what we have. And I'm just going to kick this episode very simply, right? This has been a very up and down Premier League season. We've seen teams in form, out form, dropping points, like Man City, for example, who've not hit their strides yet. It's a very unpredictable season so far, at least in the Premier League. But one thing that's been constant all through has been absolutely shambolic refereeing and VAR decisions. And this is a topic that we wanted to address for a very long time. But things just kept getting piled up because week by week, decisions kept getting worse and worse. And we really didn't know like how to crack this episode. So we decided, just because of the sheer volume of poor refereeing and VAR decisions, we're just going to leave it out in the open and have a very general discussion on what we think is going wrong with the technology, how it's being implemented, and some of the more noticeable incidents, key incidents where everyone are just scratching their heads. I mean, if you're even if you're supporting the opposition, I mean, even if you're supporting the team and the opposition gets a decision, you kind of think like, wait, what's going on? I don't understand this. And that's been the case for almost the entire season. And I just want to bring Akshat into this podcast first. Akshat, I know that you've been terribly frustrated, extremely confused with some of the things that have gone on in the season. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's what you've said. The only thing consistent about the season is how shit the referees have been. And another point you made was like 100% right, where it doesn't matter which team I'm watching anymore. Like, normal, I'm not one of those guys who watches football. I can't watch a Liverpool versus Arsenal game and sit there and pretend like, oh, this is a good neutral game for me to watch. I'm biased as fuck. No matter what game I watch, I'm always thinking which result suits United more. I'll support that team. But even then, I look at some of these refereeing decisions, I'm like, oh my god, Liverpool got screwed there. Oh my god, Man City are getting screwed here. City never gets screwed, but as an example, like that's how it happens. Again, I don't think the technology is wrong, because that's always the topic which starts coming up, is that should VAR be banned? And I feel like that's a cop-out for the referees, because the technology works. It's, what is the technology? It's basically slow motion replays. Like, it's not some groundbreaking stuff, right? And there's always this thing that when we used to watch the Premier League before VAR came in, the most common phrase that commentators would say was that, oh, the referees don't have replays. If they had replays, they would have probably looked at that differently. Now they have replays and they're still screwing up, man. It's so frustrating for
us. Damn, bro, that didn't strike me. That's so true. I remember them saying that so often. Yeah, that's so true, damn.
Yeah.
And I think the VAR was announced like a season or two before it was actually implemented. So you'd hear it a lot on the comm boxes and the pundits saying that when the technology is introduced, this is not going to be allowed.
Exactly. It was on trial in a few leagues before it became accepted practice by FIFA. And I think now that I mentioned FIFA, that is again the perfect example of how the technology can be used. Because we were not having these conversations during the World Cup. During the Champions League, again, when the refereeing standard is higher, I'm not saying that Champions League referee officiating is perfect, but it's better than what we see in the Premier League. Today, I mean, for the listeners, we're going to be talking only about the Premier League, because somehow the standards of the refereeing in Premier League has fallen to such a pathetic instance.
Bro, it is always where bad. It's always been okay. Shit. It's always been utter trash. It's always been dog shit.
But the thing is, Vaishnav, it's like there are so many things wrong with VAR, with how VAR is being used, right? It's like the interpretation of rules is one thing. The communication of referees during that is one thing. them going to the...
Oh, that's shambolic. The...
Yeah.
The interpretation, like... I think they released the comms video of... I forgot which game it was. I think it was Liverpool Spurs.
I think they had two, bro.
Yeah, Diaz, like, the communication between the two referees, and they're saying, like, mate, I think you should check this again. And it's so infuriating, like... Bro, our entire emotional baggage is at stake over here, and you guys are saying mate to each other. Like, my weekends are getting fucked week after week.
Bro, and I also think it was a...
And they're so callous about it.
It's not like, callous, it was a random camera guy who said, I don't think the referee saw that, I don't think you knew, it was miscommunication, because the VAR guys thought that the referee did not call it off. So they said, let's keep the on-field decision. But the on-field decision was off. So they're like, oh, like, what have we done?
Like, how can that happen? And
it can happen, bro, if I'm doing it. Like, if you give me the job, yeah, it can happen. Like, that's why you don't
but
give
but
me
this
the job.
Brings me to the point, which I think is the crux of why we are so frustrated and why they get things wrong so much of the time. Because they're... thought process is not about making the correct decision. Their thought process is, do we agree with what the ref did or do we not agree with what the ref did? And most of the time they try to protect what the referee, on-field referee has given, right? Just simple, like if they had just communicated, oh, is that offside or is that not offside? That is the decision you should be making. That is what VAR is for. Is that a penalty? Is that not a penalty? Is that a handball? Is that not a handball? But they don't look at it like that. They're like, the ref didn't give it a handball. So, is there enough to justify the ref not
the
giving
clear,
it a handball?
The whole clear and obvious nonsense is coming out to bite everybody in the butt.
It's hurting them only. It's hurting the referees only. Because why, if you have replays, make the correct decision. Don't try to decide what the ref, or did he make the right decision, did he make the wrong decision. It just defeats the entire purpose of having the facility to watch things in slow motion, watch multiple angles, see the context of the game, see the speed of the ball hitting the hand. You have all of that context, but you're over here sitting and thinking, yeah, the ref gave it a handball means, okay. There's not enough to not give it a handball. Like, that's... what logic is that, bro? Just make the right decision.
Yeah. I think that phase of clear and obvious error that they keep using is... such a gray area. Like, what is a clear and obvious error? If the referee has made a decision and it's wrong, just change it. It doesn't have to be blatantly wrong. Like, wrong is still wrong, you know? And right is still right. So, why do you need something that's of such a high magnitude to go and reverse the decision? And another thing that I don't get is, why do they not take plays into context? Like, if you go and see... supposing there's a player that slid in, and it's like grazed his finger or his arm, whatever. And they're only showing that one still on pause and making a decision based on that, rather than showing the entire sequence of play to get a better understanding. I think something that stands out for me here is the Rashford red card in the Champions League game, right? God. Because they've closed in on that stamp. And that stamp, yeah, sure, looks like a red because it looks like a stamp. But if you look at the entire sequence of play, he's actually shielding the ball. And that is contact that is unintentional. I don't think a referee would give that as a red card if he just saw that entire replay. But you've paused it on that one particular still, one particular nanosecond of an angle and made a decision based on
that.
Okay,
but like, to play devil's advocate on that, like, you can see why they use certain things in certain places. You couldn't tell that it was a full-on stamp, and to send him off, you had to tell that it was a full-on stamp, basically. Not agreeing with the decision. It's the wrong fucking decision. I'm just saying the point was, you needed to see that contact with the studs was made. But like, yeah, I mean, both of what you guys said, it's exactly that. There's no accountability, and they're just bad at what they do.
Yeah, and there are so many things that are going wrong. I mean, I don't think anyone knows the handball rules, first of all.
I don't.
Because every week we see... every week we see a different decision, like a different rule. And sometimes it looks like they're just making things up as they go, like out of their ass, just to get by that one particular moment. And where is the... like, where does this stop, or how can this be mitigated, right? Because the sport is growing so quickly. There's so much money that's being pumped into the Premier League. And if this continues, I don't think club owners and managers are going to be very happy, because it might come down to a time when the title is going to be decided by 2 or 3 points in some particular season. And then they would go back and look at the span of 38 games where they've won and lost, and there could be these one or two absolutely stupid decisions. And there's so much money at stake over here. So they're going to have to find a structure.
His refs were making mistakes. We need something to stop them from making mistakes. Now you're at square one. You tell me who's the common factor here and you'll figure it out. It's fairly simple. Something has not changed in these two equations. One thing has stayed the same. It's fucking sad, dude.
But what's limiting the Premier League? As Akshat said, in the World Cup, we didn't face so many problems with VAR decisions, right? So what's stopping the Premier League from adopting standard practices that the World Cup refs were using?
I think, to be fair, the World Cup literally selects the best referees from the world. Everywhere. They handpick from everywhere. And if I'm not mistaken, there was only one English referee, or was there no English referee?
Yeah, I think there was one, and I don't think any English referee refed or anything from the knockout stages. I think it was only group stages that he refed. I don't think any British referee officiated any knockout stage game.
Right. So I mean, you can have your standards of practices and your process documents, and this is what we should do. Yeah, but at the end of the day, if you're not a good referee, you're not a good referee. And Vaishnav touched on a really important point, which is accountability. That is so severely lacking, I feel, because these referees, they make these decisions, they go back, and then 3 weeks later, they're put back into a big game and they make another bad decision. And there's no other, I know you can't just, produce referees out of thin air. I totally get that. But what do you do? Literally, what do you do when a referee has a bad game? Why are you giving him more big games? Maybe put him down to the championship for a few games. Mm. There has to be some sort of performance-based, selection of these referees.
There
as well.
Is, but that is a fair. They have a fairly extensive, they get graded on performances. The both teams submit reports.
I think they did that, right? To one of the refs. They moved him down to the championship. I forget.
I think it comes back to what you said, but bro, Akshat, when there are three guys who are good, you sack them also. now what? Now legit, I'll be doing the job, and then it's not going to end well. There's that also. But yeah, I think lack of personnel. Also, bro, it's the UK. I doubt many kids are trying to grow up to be referees. That surely affects it. You've got so many more things that are an avenue within the sport. I don't know how lucrative it is to be a referee. Not that many people want to do it, so you don't have that many good guys. So it happens. Dude, even fucking Howard Webb, bro. What a joke of a fucking referee. And he was supposedly the cream of the crop at one point. And that speaks a lot, man. It speaks volumes.
Yeah.
But what do you guys think should be... let's take handball, which is a very specific thing. And I think when on an attacking state of play, if the ball touches any part of the arm at any time during the build-up, it's called an offside, right?
It's called a handball.
Pretty straightforward, it's called a handball and it's given as a foul. Pretty straightforward. But even then we see a few contentious decisions. So when the rules are so simply put down, does it make it harder or does it make it easier in your opinion to come up with the correct decision?
Easier, but that's not the correct answer here, no?
It's not the correct question then. So what is wrong with handballs? Just putting it out there. What do you guys think is wrong with handballs? Because handball is something that keeps changing every week, I feel.
The rule is fine. I don't think the rule has any problem with it. I don't think there's ever been a problem with any of the rules unless you really want to change something. It's about how it's executed and situations where these guys don't know what to do because there's too much pressure. I think it's mainly that. I don't think it's much else.
No, I feel that there's a grey area with handballs as well because they talk about arms in natural and unnatural positions. And they make their decisions solely based on that. So if it's hitting someone flush onto the palm.
That's for like defensive handballs.
In the box. But
like when a defender gets. Yeah.
Yeah, defensive handball, yeah. But like it's hitting him flush in the palm, but his hand is in a natural position. So who's the judge of natural and unnatural? Like it's so subjective,
God.
Right?
Howard Webb.
Howard Webb the Almighty. Yeah, no, but I think, Amar, that phrase means, like, in the context of that situation, would it be natural to have your arm there? Meaning, have you moved your hand to block the ball, basically? Now, having said that, that is what it means, but that is not what ends up happening. Because you're right, many times it's like, what? Where the fuck would he put his hand? His hand is, like, a part of his body and he's blocking the ball. And
exactly.
Like it's happened to strike his hand, it's not an offensive handball, because I understand that side of it. So you're right, but I mean, I don't know if the rule is a problem, bro, because I think we cannot picture any, I think most football fans in their heads can picture what is a stonewall handball, right? I think most, like, most people can, and that is essentially the rule, right? Effectively. Because, like, that is what a handball is.
No, but what if your arm is exactly where it's supposed to be, not moved an inch from your body, but it still hits the arm? In the pre-war era, that was counted as a handball, but now it's not. Or then it is sometimes and it's not some other times.
To be fair, pre-war, you called it when you caught it, basically. Especially with those type of hits, you called it when you caught it. Unless it was super obvious, he was going in for a block and it hit him. Otherwise, you called it when you caught it. Now, I think there's the benefit of being able to catch everything. So, that definitely affects the way it's executed on.
Akshat, your thoughts on handballs?
Yeah, I think what Vaishnav said made sense, that you catch these incidents a lot more with VAR. Like, you literally can't hide them when you have VAR, right? But I remember the famous incident where the Chelsea versus Arsenal game with the referee sent off the wrong guy for handball. Things
yeah,
like that.
Gibbs for Chamberlain, I think. Or the other way around.
Yeah. So, like, that kind of stuff doesn't happen, right? You can't hide that kind of stuff anymore.
That kind of stuff didn't happen before that also. That kind of stuff never happened.
You know what the highlight... The highlight for me was, like, after that whole incident, which was fucking hilarious to watch, by the way, on Troll Football, they put out this meme, like, that same ref's next match was to officiate a Newcastle game, and they put the Newcastle squad up, like, the pictures of them, and all of them are these big black motherfuckers, Dembaba, Papi Cisse, like, all these guys, and it's just a picture of the referee sweating. So funny.
Yeah. So no, like, my point was that you can't, sometimes when there's a crowd of bodies, for example, and the ball goes through them, you don't know if it's hit someone in the hand, right, before VAR. But now VAR can slowly see what has happened, and if someone has handled the ball that way, you can catch it, which is good. The whole natural and unnatural body position thing, I don't know. For me, there's still ambiguity there. And whenever there's you're never going to get an unambiguous rule when it comes to something like a handball, right?
Exactly.
Unless you say something like, if it hits the hand, then
it's
for sure it's a penalty.
Yeah.
Which is wrong, in my opinion, because that's very unfair. Because sometimes it comes off something.
You're going to have paraplegic defenders, basically. Fucking amputee defenders. They're going to be like, okay, I can't even have it. Means I won't.
So I think, like, right now they've tried to make it a mix of just enough ambiguity, but to allow some fairness also to come into play, right? But the issue is that little bit of ambiguity gives the referees a lot of leeway to interpret situations differently, and that leads to some shocking decisions. Because if you guys remember, I just brought this up before we started recording, but the Rodri handball against Everton, when I think that penalty was basically in added time, and it would have given Everton the draw in that game. And this was a very crucial period. But literally, like, imagine him putting his hand out and it hitting his forearm, and it just wasn't given. Which, previous to that, in all other instances, you would see that would be given. But again, the referee has a little bit of leeway, a little bit of ambiguity baked into the rules, saying, oh, it was in a natural position. I think specifically with handball, the part where I never understand if it's natural or unnatural is, you know, sometimes defenders, when they're trying to make a block, they slide in and they like try to cover as much distance possible to the guy who's shooting. Yeah. And when they're on the floor, their hand is on the floor and it's hit his hand and he's in the box and it's very clearly hit his hand. What can you call that? Is that a natural body position? Is that unnatural body
position?
That's
a great one. Yeah. Akshat is writing the bar exam for referees right now. That's what he's doing.
but this incident has happened. Like, I remember it happened in the United Newcastle, United Crystal Palace game last season. And this season also it happened in some other, I'm forgetting which two teams, but you can make the argument that it's in a natural position because if a guy is sliding, his fucking hand's going to be on the floor. But you can also make the argument that how does it matter? The ball's going towards goal. It's hit his hand. It would have gone into the goal if it hadn't
and
hit his...
He's beat because it's behind him, right? If it's hitting his hand, it's behind him. Like, he's gone.
Exactly. He's sliding in. It's behind... Exactly. It's gone past him, right? Yeah. So it should be a penalty. And
it should be.
That's what I'm saying. Like... there is always going to be rooms for referee to interpret it in the way they want.
Prime referees are listening to this episode because you are fucked up the whole season.
Yeah. They'll sit there and wait for like some 5 minutes now, just contemplating whether I should give this, which I think should be the next point on how long VAR takes. But my point around the whole handball thing is that little bit of ambiguity is good because it allows some common sense in the decisions. But when referees lack common sense, it leads to some brainless shit, which is what we're seeing.
Yeah, common sense isn't that common, bro. People find that out when they live life. Common sense, it's not at all that common.
It's the worst named term of all time.
Legit. It is not what it is.
Yeah. I mean, I get... with offside, it's pure and simple, right? If you're off, you're off. Yep. There are no two ways about it. But now, I think refs are finding new ways to even find offsides or onsides. The biggest example that I can give is the Liverpool-Spurs game. We've addressed this before, and it's just a lack of communication. But another incident that I want to bring up is the United game, I think, against Sheffield, where Maguire was given as a subjective offside. I think it was Sheffield, right? I don't remember.
I think you're right.
Sheffield or Brentford. But yeah, basically, that was a free kick that Maguire was standing at the far post and he was offside. There's no arguing about that. But the ball never even got close to him. He did not touch the ball. The ball did not get close to him. And he was ruled out for subjective offside because apparently he was impeding the defender who would have gotten to the ball if Maguire had stayed onside. Or some absolutely bizarre explanation like that. And the goal was ruled out, which is something that I've never seen before in my life. Like, what does subjective offside mean?
Yeah, I think the problem with that is... Fine, I can see the logic that an offside player should not interfere with play. Fine, okay. But if you're calling that, then the number of goals which will be allowed in the Premier League on any free kick would halve. It would literally halve. Because...
Yeah.
Bro, in a free kick, there'll always be 2-3 people from the attacking team who are offside.
Especially
and they will be,
post.
Of course... Exactly, and they'll be pushing and pulling with their defender. Like, that's how it works, right? So, if you're deciding to call that offside, then call all of it offside. No, the consistency, bro. There's no consistency in the decision-making.
To be fair, fucking Harry, when you're at the end of the line, you can see across the line, you can stay onside, bro.
No, but that was also like 2-3 millimeters, bro. That was also like really close, okay. Yeah.
Have you seen that man's feet,
that's
bro?
Very good point.
He's going to be offside.
Is he on the pitch? Yeah, he's offside.
Yeah, and coming back to this whole subjective offside thing where you're interfering with play, there was another incident, I think immediately in the next game, Fulham-Man City, where Akanji is right in front of the goalkeeper. Tries to swing the ball into the net, misses it, and he is well offside, okay? Like, miles offside.
Yeah.
And then the ball does eventually end up in the net, but that is not called subjective offside, where he's clearly in front of the keeper, influencing the keeper's movement and the defender.
And in the line of sight also. So, like, it's not even like just him being close to the ball. He's like, he's in front of the keeper, between the keeper and the ball. And that is like normally given anyway, like at any time.
So, yeah, many, many contentious decisions.
No, but then the infuriating part is that, was it, I think Johnny Evans then scores a very similar goal, but Hoyland is in front of the keeper and they rule that as an offside because Hoyland is offside. So, we have spoken about so many problems, and on top of that, there's this whole consistency issue as well, that you're making shit calls, but you're making shit calls also inconsistently, which is like, it's ridiculous, man. It's just ridiculous.
Do you guys want to talk now specifically about incidents that come at the top of your head? Or do you want to move on to how this can be made better as a system and how we can see some more standardization across the board?
I have no idea, bro. How will you make it better? Fucking get better referees. I don't know, bro. It's so.
Akshat's face, bro, when he said that. It's like, I don't know, da.
If you see the way the referees communicate in rugby, right? It's so transparent, where you can hear exactly what is going on between the VAR that they have. What is it called in rugby? Tino, something like that.
Yeah, television match official, TMO. That's what it's called.
TMO, yeah. So the TMO group of guys that are sitting away, like how VAR officials sit away from the action, talking to the referee on the ground, saying that, hey, I think you should go back and look at this because this happened and this player was here and whatever.
No, but
right? And the referee takes that.
They don't tell the referee to go back and take a look. The one key difference is that those guys are so competent and they're looking at all the replays and everything. They tell the ref what to award. It's like, bro, you missed this. This is the penalty which happened. Go give the foul. And they explain, it's not just like, you know, that, oh, just give a penalty. Give like a 15-yard penalty or whatever. They go and they tell him, they tell them that what exactly what you missed, that number 4 did this exact infringement on number 13.
Exactly.
It happened at this moment. You didn't see it. So when the players come and ask what the fuck is going on, that the referee can tell them also that this is what I know, that number 4 did this to number 13. That's why I'm giving this penalty. I really like that.
And I don't know if I mentioned this, but an important point of this is that all the spectators on the broadcasting can hear exactly what is going on. Like, you're in
even
the
in the stadium
in real
also.
Time. Even in the stadium, I don't know. I've not been.
I'm fairly certain at most like world rugby games in the stadium you can. I don't know what league games, but like NFL games, NBA games, all games where they have a television. That's because they're a fucking team and everybody's a ref there, not just the guy on the pitch.
Yeah.
Like. So you get to hear everything.
So you can hear, as a spectator, you can hear exactly why this decision has been made. And it's even so cool to, like, when it pans out and, you know, in all competitive professional sport, all of the players are swarming around the referee, trying to influence his decision and trying to figure out, like, or trying to get the benefit of the doubt, basically. But this entire process, the final stage of it is where, as Akshat said, the referee is explaining to the players exactly what has happened. So there's no gray area or any scope of misunderstanding. And the way the referees communicate to the players is so cool to watch, man. Like, that whole process is so seamless end to end. And I don't see why the Premier League, especially with the kind of money that is being pumped in, have a system like this in place. And I think I do know the reason why is because these fucking idiots talk about like pints and say things like mate on the comms
in a professional environment
and they don't want that. It infuriated me, bro. Like, you're at work and this is important. My weekends are getting fucked because of you guys. I'm falling into depression.
It comes back to that previous point, bro, about that accountability which we're talking about. Because if you're if your communication is live to millions of people watching home and the entire stadium, that means you're taking full responsibility and you have faith in your decision and you're open. It's like, I'm an open book. This is why I'm making the decision. And if you get it wrong, you'll get criticized for it. These referees in the Premier League, they want to hide. They don't want to come out and face the public in the open, right? And that's what we are talking about. Like, the live communication is basically being out in the open in front of the public. And they don't want to do that. And I don't think that's ever going to happen in football, to be honest. Like, I just don't think that's the direction they're going to go down.
But, like, these sports are also, like, fundamentally different. Like, there are more breaks in play in rugby, the NFL, and basketball, for example, where television officials are used quite a bit. Football doesn't have that. Like, yeah, they actually now, because numbers when they come out, like, I remember seeing, I think, Newcastle game, the ball is in play for, like, something like 43 minutes out of the 90. So, yeah, technically, I guess there's a large volume of time, but in the critical phases of play, that it's like, it's not like you're trying to gain yards, it's fluid, no? So I think that makes it harder, definitely. But I mean, there are also good referees, so that's not an excuse. There are people who do it well.
Yeah.
So what direction, according to you, Akshat, are they going to take? Because at some point, they're going to have to mitigate.
It's on you, bro.
Yeah, they're not going to do shit.
No?
Solve it.
They're not going to do shit.
You think it's going to be this way for, like, a while?
I mean, see, like, you just have to improve the quality of the referees which are being produced, is what I feel. Referees, and they don't just show up to a game, right? They have their own training schedule. They have this, I forgot the place, but they have basically, like, a training facility, like how a club has a training facility, where they continuously talk about, as Vaishnav also said, that after the game they have a report which is filled out by other referees and evaluated by other referees to see what decision they got right, what decision they got wrong. So there is a process. It's not like they're just showing up every single time, right? And in that place they have a lot of technology also. They do simulation drills for offsides especially. All of that exists. But it's like... It's like any other job, bro. If you have an employee who's not performing well, or let's keep it to football. If you're a manager and you have 3-4 players who are not performing well, you have to get the best out of them. And how do you do that? You need to do that through, if they're not playing well, they get benched. Or
a structured training plan.
A training plan's also fine, but there has to be some man management also, right? Like, in any professional field, bro, if you go to work and you're phoning it in or you keep making mistakes and all that, in a corporate, they put you on something like a performance improvement plan, which is like a notice for you to buck up or else you're going to go away, right? It's, or you have someone who comes in and tries to help you, some mentor who can kind of come and try and help you. Just try to improve and manage these referees on a man-to-man level also. I don't think that's happening. I think they make their decisions, they see their report card, then they move on. Like, there's no scope of, like, okay, let's sit and actually try to improve things. So let's try to better ourselves. So, as Howard Webb is the head of PG Mall right now. Not PG Mall. Is it PG Mall? The referee?
Pop Mall, yeah.
Whatever. Yeah, doesn't matter. I don't... Yeah, whatever he's in charge of, it sucks. But I don't think there's a culture of improvement. I think it's a culture of defending themselves, that what we're doing is right, what, you know, you guys, it's, we're doing it much better than we did before, and it's very difficult to get right all the time. That's the entire culture. And unless that changes, I don't see it improving. Because, bro, the one thing which was supposed to improve refereeing was VAR. Now, VAR is here and they're still not good. So, what else can it be? What else can you do? You can
see how bad they are also. Because of
VAR. Yeah. That's the only thing which VAR has done, actually.
Yeah. It's like showing everything.
Akshat, you want to make some real money?
Tell me, bro.
Gather all of the data, machine learn, and...
It's telling you to learn the machine.
Machine learn the VAR to make the decision itself and just stop having on-field referees. Just technology do it. Decide everything. Just do
it. Like, send off Anthony Marshall the second he's getting subbed on. It's good.
Yeah. You know that video that went viral? I think Vaishnav, you showed it to me, of the robot boxing. Like, imagine that robot being the referee on the field instead. Yeah, and if like if the players are arguing with the decision, they just get body slammed and sent off.
I think that is the problem, bro. I think the decisions are shit.
Oh, yeah, and another thing that I want to talk about, like, since we are on this topic of referees, not VAR per se, but, like, the referee is just taking the piss with the yellow cards, man. It's so fucking frustrating to watch. Like, you say anything and you do anything and you're going to get a yellow card now.
No, I'm just happy that this whole Mikel Arteta got banned, no, because he celebrated too hard, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
Bro, those referees can go fuck themselves. Like, seriously, get the fuck out of the sport, bro. I am no Mikel Arteta fan, but a last minute 4-3 winner.
He made some comments also, no? That's what the
that was different. No, no, yeah, that was like he said disgrace, which, yeah. I mean, the decision was disgraceful, but I, okay, fine, you don't want to insult the referees, fine, okay, you be bitter about it, okay, but. Their whole argument against Arteta in that hearing which they had was that because Arteta's a high profile manager and he's been doing refs in the past, we had to take strict action. Don't make mistakes. Nobody will say anything against you. No, shut the fuck. Like, focus on the right things, guys. Oh man, I'm so angry.
They can make mistakes also, bro. They can just do it better.
No, but that you're right about that goal celebration. Like, what do you expect a human being to do? Like, it's a sport. It's a fucking sport. You're the manager. You scored a winner in injury
to
time.
To go top of the
what
table.
What do you want him to do?
To let's add that context also.
And these players as well, man. Like, if you end up saying anything like, hey, to the referee, it's a yellow card. I don't even know, like, what's the parameter anymore, because I feel yellow cards are just dished out. But that suspension thing doesn't change. 5 yellow cards is still a suspension, as we can see with what happened with Bruno with the Liverpool game, which is today. Another bloodbath, I think. Not even going to get into that. But it's for stupid things like this, like going and telling the referee, why have you given me a fucking penalty for this? And you're like, you've shown a yellow card straight up.
I have a solution, a potential solution, which is not...
It's going to be a firing squad, I think. This is not going to happen.
Gulag. No, but see, if you don't want to make this communication thing, no, here's what you do, okay? You have 5, let's say 5 for now, okay? You have 5 referees who are all sitting at home with VAR technology, as in the replays and all that. Nobody's talking to them. Nobody's talking to them. They're not talking to anyone. They all vote.
No, don't
on
do
what
it.
They
don't
think it
do
is.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Bro, one guy will say handball for an offside decision, bro. Don't do it.
No, but then you need majority, no. Like, how can all of them
don't do just... it that. As he said it.
Bro, I don't know,
challenge,
man.
Don't challenge. Don't challenge.
I'm going to pitch this. Going to pitch this somewhere.
It should be a reality show.
Yeah, so these yellow cards that I'm talking about, I mean, players are getting yellow cards for absolutely stupid things like crowding around the referee and just saying something out of, you know, the heat of the moment or throwing the ball away. And it's so difficult for a player to get a second yellow card for a clear and obvious error. Supposing he stopped a counter-attack or he's just gone and nuked another guy, but he's already on a yellow card for the first one for dissent, and he just doesn't get the second yellow card and shown the red. Why have they... I understand the logic, but don't you think it's a little far-fetched, especially in a sport like football where it's so intense, so heated up, that you're bound to get some reaction from the players?
Yeah, and I just remembered, I had a conversation about this with another friend of mine, like, of a while ago. And, Ammar, bro, I think you will know this. In cricket, they have, like, some disciplinary points or something, right? I don't know if it's cricket. I think it might even be F1.
Yeah.
Where you can only rack up a certain amount of disciplinary points which are given by the officials. And if you do that, then either you get like a salary cut or you lose a few games or whatever, right? And I feel like you can just do that for football, bro. Because I feel like yellow card should be reserved for football players. Like, wasting time, yes, I agree with that. But cursing the referee and all, bro, give him a disciplinary point. If he has 5 disciplinary points, he misses one game. But don't give him a yellow card in the match. Like, what's the point of that?
Or, like, 3 disciplinary points become 1 yellow card, like, retroactively.
Yeah.
Like, for suspension.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think disciplinary points is like a wage cut or max suspension makes a lot of sense because it affects the flow of the game every time you play, right? For all the 22 players that are on the pitch. Because now suddenly your center back has gotten a yellow card in the first 5 minutes of the game and now you're very apprehensive to put in a challenge that you would normally fly in for. And you can only get 2 yellow cards in a game, dude. You should not be giving one out for just for the sake of it, just to stamp authority. I feel a lot of this is the referee trying to say that, oh, I am here, I am the big boss, I am the referee, you can't talk to me at all, here's a yellow card. You know, it's got nothing to do with the play or with the flow of the game.
Yeah,
so a lot of things that are like going, I think, regressively for the referees instead of moving forward. And there's so many issues that have to be addressed, and Nakshat says that it's not going to be addressed. I feel that at some point it's going to blow up to such a proportion where like millions of dollars at stake and someone's going to take a very
But that's always the case. It won't change, Ra. It's not like nobody takes it that seriously, if I'm being completely honest. Like, like in sports, they're not going to make money. Nobody gets into sports unless you're in the US to make money. Even in the US, you're like 3 people, bro. Like, you're right, though, because it's hurting the fucking brand. Because if people are talking about the Premier League and they're like, that guy was 85 yard, then you tell somebody about the Luis Diaz situation. Then he's like, what? That can't be like a pro league. Like, that can't be like a proper, like, when you compare it to any other sport across the world, they're going to think you're joking. So, yeah, that's that. But internally, I don't think they care, dude. I don't think they're like, oh shit, no, the you know, integrity of our league is going. Now, fuck it, that league has no integrity.
Fair enough.
I just want to, like, my favorite, I don't know what to call it, like, bad refereeing meta, if you can call it that, is in NBA, actually, okay? Vaishnav, you know what I'm talking about. There's this NBA ref called Scott Foster, bro. And he has a recorded beef. It's not like we're guessing or anything. It's out there, reported, recorded.
They've sent
beef.
Horses' heads to each other's houses.
With this one player who's called Chris Paul, who's a damn good player, okay? He's not some shitty player, okay? He's a very, very... He's called Point God. Like, that's his nickname. He's a very, very good player, okay? In the games which Chris Paul has been officiated by the Scott Foster guy in playoffs, okay? His record is 3 wins and 17 defeats, bro. In games officiated by this one official.
Oh, shit. So he's behind the team only.
Yeah. Huh?
Like, that ref is out for the team. Like, whatever team this dude plays for.
Bro, this is in... He is in 5 different teams, bro. This record spans 5 different teams.
That is sad.
Just recently, he had this guy kicked out of a game, and they were talking about Chris Paul's son, bro. The referee and the player were talking about the player's son while he got kicked out of the game for basically 2 yellows, the equivalent of 2 yellows in basketball. Like, that's the level we're talking about, man. So at least we're not there in football.
Bro, that's because they have 20 kids.
Okay, any closing points on the refs?
Yeah, they're not very good.
I think that we've established repeatedly week by week. I'm just excited to see what happens next. Like, how badly can you fuck it up even more? Like, what are the levels we're talking about here? What depths can you go to? Surprise me.
Suddenly, they let one team have 12 players on the pitch. They're like, hey, fuck. One half is over. They're like, hey, bro, something is not adding up.
That's the average Manchester City game, bro.
Bro, legit. I think they do that. I don't think anybody's noticed yesterday. I think that's maybe what they do. Maybe not paid enough attention. Like, fuck it. Yeah, they're damn good. Who's going to notice having one extra player?
I'll tell you a story time with Amar just to close this episode. We'll see if the Premier League ever get to this level. So, I was playing a 11v11 game here. Or 11v11 tournament. First and last time I'll ever play 11v11 because I do not have the stamina for it. But anyways. The ball is with my team and we are attacking. And we are well into the opposition box. And you know the goalkeeper has the like a box around their goal, right?
Yeah,
The white lining. Six-yard box. So their keeper has come out and collecting the ball just outside the 6-yard box, but well within the D, okay? Mm-hmm. And one of my players saw it as the line that's outside the 6-yard box, thinking it's the D. So he's gone and like started screaming handball, handball to the ref. I don't know what the ref thought.
No, don't say it.
Ouch, bro.
But he gave it.
The ref got down. He's like, bro, is this some rule? I didn't know.
The goalkeeper was so confused. The goalkeeper for a second like didn't even know how to be angry. Okay? He's just confused. Like, what the fuck is going on?
It's like
he's trying to show the ref, like, look at where I'm standing.
What? You let him do one thing and then you're like, no, that's what you can't do. Like, obviously he'll be pissed. Like, holding it in the one place he can hold it.
But the ref there didn't need VAR to overturn the decision. He came back to his senses like fairly quickly.
He's like, he looked down, he's like, oh shit.
This reminds me of one incident, okay? This is not at all related to this episode. So if you guys want to leave, listeners, you can, okay? But...
top 10 podcasts. Actively telling listeners to leave.
No, I mean, like, we're not fucking speaking any. Anything relevant anymore, okay? This that is what it. Our post call normally looks like. But so I normally play as a defender, like in school. Now I don't play anyway, but in school, okay? So there's this one time where I actually got forward and I was running and there was one last man, okay? And he hit like both of my shins. Like he went for the ball and he kicked me on both of my shins and I fell down. Okay. But the thing is that it was a one-on-one near the goal and everyone else behind were like far away and they didn't see what happened. And then this man, in our, you know, our school ground didn't have turf before. No, it was like dust based, basically. Right.
Not even mud.
Dust. Yeah. He goes and he draws skid marks, bro, and he's like, look, he slipped, okay? And everyone believed him, bro.
That man is the CEO of a multi-trillion-dollar enterprise somewhere, bro. He knows how to win.
Bro.
Imagine Akshat on the floor, this guy making eye contact with Akshat, just drawing lines into the mud.
Like I was so mad, bro. I was like so infuriated. But then the play started. I couldn't do anything.
It's my word versus yours, bro. And he knew they wouldn't believe you. That's
why
he did it.
If this mystery man is listening to this podcast, you did our boy dirty, bro. Like, I just hope you feel fucking terrible about
yourself. Yeah, I respect it, bro.
It was Harman, bro. You guys know it was Harman, bro, if you remember.
I completely respect it. You have to respect it, bro. Man knows how to win.
Bro, yeah. He got me, bro. He got me. I'm not even denying it.
Can't.
But yeah, that's the argument for VAR in school football, bro.
Still better than the shit show that goes on here. What a subjective offside, bro. Okay, on that note, I think it's time to wrap this episode up. Thank you, listeners, for getting to the end of this episode. If you have any frustrations, please feel free to rant to us, because we are ranting almost all the time about the referees. And we hope to catch you very soon for our next episode. Till then, bye-bye. Stay safe.